the rest of the story. In the annals of warfare, it's been called many things, but here we shall refer to it as the Battle of Anacostia Flats. The major was actually second in command of the 3rd Cavalry Regiment, had been assigned to it not quite 3 weeks previous, but he was the field commander that day, the 28th of July, when General Miles of the 16th Infantry Brigade ordered, "Meet us across the bridge in 1 hour." The 3rd Cavalry rode out into column 4 horses wide, armored tanks followed about a mile behind. By 1,500 hours, they had reached the battlefield. The major would ride farther alone to make a reconnaissance of the terrain and an estimate of the situation. Briefly, he encountered enemy forces and then returned at a gallop to prepare for battle. "We'll be using the gas grenades, men," he informed the assembled soldiers. The infantry put on their gas masks and drew their rifles from the sling. At 16:05, the cavalry bore down with the infantry close behind, engaged the enemy, perhaps 10,000 of them. Not only were the American troops clearly outnumbered, but the infantry was lagging and the cavalry's flank had turned. And then the enemy line, shouting as ancient warriors in a savage battle cry, surged forward in full charge. Now the combat was suddenly hand-to-hand. Sabers and bayonets flashed in the afternoon sun. The major urged his cavalry forward. The infantry rushed in to fill the gap. The enemy, numerous though they were, retreated. Now it's nightfall. The major paced before his subordinates. "If they waited until sunrise to resume the battle," he muttered, "the tide could turn against them. So instead, they would attack again tonight. Cross the river. Capture the enemy camp at Anacostia Flats tonight." Orders given, the United States Army moved out. The 3rd Cavalry formed to the north. The 16th Infantry marched southward along the river and then turned by the left flank to engage the enemy. Taken by surprise, many of the latter began burning their tents before taking up arms. The cavalry charged. The infantry began lobbing grenades. The tanks roared in, and by dawn's early light, the enemy had been routed. The Battle of Anacostia Flats had been won. Or could there ever have been a winner in such a confrontation as that one? For the military engagement you've just relived, a violent encounter in which remarkably nobody died, took place not in some distant jungle or amid the European hedgerows of long ago, but in a city, an American city. You see, in July of 1932, about 20,000 demonstrators marched on Washington, D.C. When their solitary demand was not met, about half of them went home. But the 10,000 or so who stayed, many of whom were believed by authorities to be ex-convicts and communists, threatened to become an ugly mob. So that's when the United States Army, including cavalry and infantry, under the command of General Douglas MacArthur and his second-in-command Colonel Dwight Eisenhower and field commander of the 3rd Cavalry Major George Patton, all under the direction of President Herbert Hoover and his Secretary of War, battled an enemy who had marched on our nation's capital to demand full payment of their war bonuses. That's right, their war bonuses. For the formidable foe it took our finest military minds and muscles to defeat in 1932 was armed only with bricks. American veterans of World War I. Now you know the rest of the story.